नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी स्टार्टेड विद द फर्स्ट वर्स। सो दिस वर्स इज गोइंग टू एस्टैब्लिश ओके जस्ट वन सेकेंड जस्ट सो व्हाट इज द थीम इफ यू हैव टू गिव अ थीम फॉर दिस वर्स व्हाट दैट यू वुड गिव।
Because now it is like a Paribhasha Sutra for Brahma Samhita. I felt like that.
Correct. So this wants to prove ete chamsa kalapumsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Singh. So that's essentially he wants to prove through this verse. So he's going to explain each one of these terms. He mentioned that Brahma Samhita is important because it is a book which is in line with the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he started
now
with.
Now here is he's trying to establish the word Krishna superior to any other established superiority of Krishna in terms of he's giving Vasudev is mentioned before Vasudev and how it is thousand names of Vishnu is equal to Krishna. So the word Krishna is trying to establish is superior.
Yeah, the word Krishna is superior to all other names. So that's what. So basically, ete cham sakala pumsa Krishna is Bhagavan's name. And then he starts by telling, word Krishna means not a generic name of Lord, but a specific form whose name is Krishna. So he explains that, you know, he quotes, you know, when Vasudev saw this form, how he was struck with wonder, and he calls this form as Krishna. So Krishna refers to the specific form that Vasudev saw. Right? And then again, by quoting this verse from the Chandogya Upanishad, he is establishing by placing the word Krishna first, the supreme position of Krishna is indicated. And then he quotes from Garga Muni. So, why is he quoting these two verses by Garga Muni?
To establish that his name is taken before Vasudev, one reason.
Krishna's name is taken before the name of Vasudev.
Vasudev, no?
Vasudev. Vasudev is the father's name. Vasudev.
Father,
Hence, Krishna's name is foremost. This he wants to prove. Then,
he quotes Brahmanda Purana.
Then he quotes from Padma Puran. Namnam Mukhyatamam Nama Krishnakyam Niparantapa. And then he quotes from Brahmanda Puran. That
Sahasranama.
But three times chanting this Vishnu Sahasranam is equivalent to chanting this one name of Krishna. Like that.
Our next section is Krishna's conventional name and etymological meaning is trying to relate how both are equal.
The conventional meaning of Krishna. So today my mother was asking me, because she was also hearing some of the sessions, what is the meaning of etymological, she was asking, and what is the difference between etymological and conventional. So I told her name is Komala. So I told the etymological meaning of your name is the one who is very soft, and the conventional meaning of your name is the wife of Mr. S.S. Rajan and the mother of Balaji and Aarti, like that I was telling. So your name, this is the conventional meaning of your name, and this is the etymological meaning. Like that. So just like the conventional meaning of Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj and one who possesses all the wonderful qualities, like, you know, the 64 qualities, you know, Akila Rasamrita Murti, it all refers to Krishna, the conventional meaning. And the etymological meaning also, how it matches with the conventional meaning, that's what he's going to establish. So again, he quotes these two verses by Gargamuni. Why he quotes this?
Here he is trying to establish conventional meaning of Krishna, how it is superior to other forms.
So conventional meaning of Krishna as being superior to all other forms. So how does he establish this?
He says the other form, other Shukla, Tathā Pītā.
So he establishes this by indicating that how all these other forms, Shukla, Rakta, Tathā Pītā, they have now descended into this blackish body of Krishna. So in this way he establishes how the conventional meaning of the word Krishna also indicates that how he is superior to the all other forms by indicating idanim krishnatam gataha. All of them have now descended into Krishna's body, like that. So he says that so Krishna, who has the black form, is the avatari, and all the others, white, red, yellow forms, are avataras. So the avataras have descended along with Krishna's form. So another meaning of therefore Krishna means sarvam akarshayati iti Krishna. So how he attracts everything. So similarly, here in the conventional sense also, this avatari Krishna has attracted all the other forms to descend with him. So here also he proves that therefore conventional meaning equals etymological meaning. So conventional etymological meaning means he attracts, and conventionally also when he descends, he attracts the other forms to descend with him, like that. So then we went to etymological meaning of the word Krishna. So what does he explain here for?
So here he is telling how Krishna means existence, maintenance, also
control.
Control.
So Krish Shabda means Krish Shabda, existence, maintenance, and control. Anna Shabda,
bliss.
So Tayor Aikyam Param Brahma Krishna iti abhidiyate. And what is the meaning of the word Brahma? You remember though?
Brahma,
Brahmayati.
Brihat
and Brihanam.
Brihat.
So Brihat means great. Brihanam means nourisher. So Brahman means great nourisher.
How Krishna is great nourisher? Then he is Brahman. Para Brahman.
Yeah, by becoming the cause of all existence and by becoming the cause of all bliss, he nourishes every living entity like that. So another verse, just to show that how here the word Krishna refers to actually Krishna only. So he quotes another similar verse from the Gautamiya Tantra, which is quoted in with respect to the 18-syllabled mantra for worshipping Krishna. So again, he says, Krishi shabdascha sattartho nascha ananda surupakah sukha rupo bhavedatma bhavanandamaya. So bhava means power and ananda means bliss. So Krish means that entity by whose power all objects exist, or he is the controller of all. So therefore, the Krish shabda also means bhu, which means to maintain. So Krish, bhu and satta all have the same meaning, which is existence, maintenance and control. So therefore, Krish means, therefore the word Krish cannot mean just existence. It has to mean the cause of all existence. Otherwise, it would be a redundant word. And similarly, Krish cannot just mean attraction. It should mean the power of controlling everything.
Yeah.
And so therefore, Krishna means the basis of all things and the cause of bliss to all. And Tayor Aikyam, when these two words come together, then it indicates Parabrahman. Parabrahman means the supreme nourisher. So therefore, Krishna is the greatest amongst all nourishers by giving them the source of existence and being the cause of bliss. So again and again, he is bringing out the same point. So Krishna means Krishna is attraction, means Krishna having the power over all things is attractive to all. So and again, he describes what is Brahman, is Brahanam Vastu Narishar. So Brh has two meanings, Brhad and Brahana. So Brhad means great, Brahanam means nourisher. So Brahman is greatest nourisher. And he gives a quote from Vishnu Puran to suggest this. So another proof for Krishna being described as Brahman. So you may say that this indicates Brahman only, but how can it specifically indicate Krishna? He says, no, the Shastras do talk about Krishna as being Parabrahman. So he quotes from Brihad Gautamiya Tantra, where it is mentioned that person who is called as Krishna, where Krish refers to Satta and Na refers to Ananda. So therefore, that Satta Swanandayor Yogat. So Satta Swanandayor Yogat means Krishna Yogat, which means Krishna. Yoga is connection. So when Krish and Na come together, that Krishna is Chit Param Brahma Chautyate. He is the supreme Brahman with consciousness. So then, again, he talks about Satta and Ananda cannot mean the same, otherwise it would lead to redundance, just like Kadamba is called as both Vriksha and Taru, he says. So therefore, Krishna cannot just mean existence and bliss. So he says, the Jivas experience happiness of Prema when they get connected to Krishna. So that is the meaning of Sukarupo Bhaved, or like that. Therefore, Krishna means the greatest form and qualities. Greatest form and qualities. Why? Because he is the personification of bliss and the ruler and attractor of all. Like that. So, and then he quotes from the Vasudeva Upanishad to indicate how Krishna's form has the ability to give bliss to all. And also he quotes from the Nama Kaumudi to indicate that even from a conventional sense, Krishna Shabdasya Tamala Shyamalatvishi Shri Yasoda Stanandaye Parabrahmani Rudihi. The conventional meaning is also, you know, the one who is black in color and drinks Mother Yashoda's milk, and he's Parabrahman, like that. So therefore, people cannot say that Krishna means that which is black. So even though that may be the etymological meaning, the rule is that when there is a slight contradiction between the etymological meaning and the conventional meaning, one should take the conventional meaning and not the etymological meaning. So like that. And then he quotes proofs from the Shastras to establish how Krishna is Parabrahman. He quotes this Yuyam Loke verse where it is mentioned Godam Parambrahma Manushyalingam or Aho Bhagyam Aho Bhagyam Nandagopa Vajokasam Inmitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Again he is called as Purnam Brahma. And again he quotes from Vishnu Puran and the Bhagavad Gita Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, like that. So, and then we discussed the word Ishvara. What did we see in Ishvara, bro? You remember?
Ishvara is the ultimate controller of all.
Yeah, Ishvara means controller. Anyone can be a controller. But because the word Ishvara is used in conjunction with Krishna and because Krishna is by the word, in detail, we try to understand the meaning of the word Krishna. Krish means he is the source of existence of all, or he is the controller of all, or he is the maintainer of all. And Na means he is the source of bliss of all. So therefore, when the word Ishvara is in conjunction with Krishna, it cannot just mean controller, it should mean the ultimate controller of all, like that. And then he quotes from the Gautamiya Tantra. He says, Atava Karshayet Sarvam Jagat Stavara Jangamam Kala Rupena Bhagavan Tenayam Krishna Uchyate. So this is the another meaning of Krishna. He says, because he controls all in the form of time, therefore, he is called as Krishna, like that. And he quotes from the third canto also, that how the form of Krishna is a controller of all, by indicating he is Trayadishaha. So Trayadishaha means he is the master of all the three energies, and he is also the master of all the three kinds of Vishnus, Karanudrasai Vishnu, Garbhudrasai Vishnu, and Shirudrasai Vishnu. And not only that, Chira Lokapalaihi, you know, all the Lokapalas, all the, you can say like, the universal controllers in the form
Ashtadik
of the
Palakas.
Yeah. Not just Ashtadik Palakas, but also them also, and all the Devatas, they come and offer their obeisances. That also indicates that he is the controller of all. And then he, Vishtabhyahamidam Krishnam Ekam Shena, Tito Jagat, like that he mentions. So this was the meaning of Ishvara. So what did we see was the meaning of Parama Prabhu? You remember?
Parama.
Para means excellent. Ma means Lakshmi or energy.
Yeah.
Parama means he possesses the most excellent energies in the form of his Lakshmi. So therefore, this he quotes that how he had control over all the queens of Dwaraka, and he had control over all the gopis who are considered to be superior even to Mother Lakshmi, and all the Swaryoshitam, the woman of Swarga. And so therefore he says, and also Brahma Sambhra Samhita itself says, Shriya Kantaha Kantaha Paramapurushaha. So in Goloka reside the beautiful young woman and their lover, the supreme male. Like that. So, therefore, because he is the controller of all the superior energies, especially the gopis, therefore Krishna is called as Parama. Like that. Then, we discussed the word Adi. What was the meaning of the word Adi, Prabhu?
It is the first.
So Adi means the first. Okay. So why?
Because he possesses all energies.
So that means it should all come from most superior energies. And of course, all energies also. So therefore, he has to be the first. And proof for the word Adi referring to Krishna only, he quotes from the 10th canto where the Lord Krishna is addressed as Adyo Harihi, the original or the first Hari. And also in the 11th canto, it is mentioned that Purusham Rishabham Adyam. Krishna is addressed as Adyam Purusham. Krishna Samgyam is called Sri Krishna like that. So that is the meaning of Adi means to be first. Then what is the meaning of Anadi, Prabhu?
Eternal.
Huh?
Eternal.
Eternal. So Adi indicates first and Anadi clarifies that that first is actually eternal. So in order to make this clear, the word Anadi is used. So and the proof of Krishna being eternal. So Eko Vashi Sarvaga Krishna Idyaha Gopal Tapani Upanishad says Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetanam, like that. So so Eko Vashi indicates that he is Adi. Originally, he only existed.
Yeah.
And Nityo Nityanam indicates that he is Anadi, eternal. Like that. So, Eko Vashi Sarvaga. So, initially only Krishna existed before everything was created. And that Krishna, it says, is Nityo Nityanam. So he quotes from Gopal Dapani Upanishad to establish that he is both Anadi and Adi. Anadir Adir. Like that. And then we saw Sarvakarana Karanam. What was the explanation?
Cause of all causes.
Hmm.
So, because he is the first.
Because he is the first. He is Adi. Therefore, by deduction, he has to be Sarvakarana Karanam. There cannot be anyone else, because originally he only existed, right? So he quotes from the 10th canto, proof of Krishna being Sarvakarana Karanam. Yasya amsha 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 bhagena vishvotpatti layodayaha bhavanti kila vishvatmans tam tva adya aham gatim gata. So what is Vishnu?
Vishnu, Durga, energies.
Yeah, correct. So Yasya is Krishna, Amsha is Purushavataras, Amsha is Maya, Amsha is Three Gunas. So Yasya Amsha 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 Vishva Stiti Utpatti Layodayaha, which means by the control of the Three Gunas, which are the Amsha of Maya, which are the Amsha of Purushavataras, who are the Amsha of Krishna, this universe is created, maintained and destroyed, like that. And another proof of Krishna being Sarvakarana Karanam.
Here, one point I understood. Like this word can, this shloka can be interpreted as Krishna Samsha is Sankarsana from there, Narayana.
Yeah.
From there, another Sankarsana, then Mahavishnu, Amsha, Amsha, Amsha. From him, the universe is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So right. Then I understood this. This type of explanation, maybe Sri Vaishnavas will give. If you say Amsha, Amsha, yeah, from Krishna is Narayana, from Amsha is Durga, and from Amsha is Three Gunas, and then Amsha is these things. Mm. So, if Sri Vaishnavas, the same shloka, they can take, this is Amsha, Amsha is, this is Durga and Three Gunas and other things.
Yeah.
So, we may say, no, it is Baladeva and Sankarsana. This is,
yeah.
So, this can be interpreted like that also.
Correct, 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 correct. Then he quotes this famous Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atma sadisha kira loka sakshi, like that. Narayano angam. Indeed, Lord Narayana is your expansion. So by mentioning this, he says that he is Sarvakarana Karanam. Even the source of Lord Narayana is Krishna. Like that.
I thought this he will quote for Adi, but he quote is for cause of all causes.
Nee, same thing, na Prabhu. He is Sarvakarana
because he's
Karanam.
Adi,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, then why is, if the Lord is Adi Narayana, then why is Narayana called as Narayana? ఈ సేస్
టూ రీజన్స్
తాతాని తత్వాని నారాణి ఇతి విదుర్బుధాహ తస్య తాని అయనం పూర్వం తేన నారాయణ స్మృత. ఈ సేస్ నరహ రెఫర్స్ టు పురుష, నారాహ రెఫర్స్ టు ఎలిమెంట్స్ విచ్ ఎమినేట్ ఫ్రమ్ నర, అండ్ అయన మీన్స్ నారాయణ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ ద షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ విచ్ ఎమినేట్ ఫ్రమ్ నర. So this refers to Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. So therefore, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu can also be called as Narayana.
And Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu.
Yeah, also. Because the water emanates from his body and he lies down in that. Therefore, Narayana of Krishna. What?
Yeah. Yes, continue.
Therefore, Narayana is an expansion and Krishna is the source. And therefore, the etymological meaning of Krishna, that is to be the source of all, including Narayana, has again been established here.
Oh, okay, etymologically also, Krishna is to be the source of all that.
Yeah, that was etymological meaning is Krishna.
Yeah, source of.
He is the existence. Existence means what? Source of all existence. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is why. So, and the word vigraha indicates personality. So, even though one might say Krishna indicates supreme bliss and therefore can indicate an impersonal entity, but the words Ishvara and Vigraha indicate a personality very clearly. So, Ishvara indicates supreme in power and Sarvakarana Karanam indicates supreme cause, like that.
Yeah.
But there could be a Purva Paksha objection. Because the Shruti says, Brahman is bliss. Who could breathe without this Brahman? If this blissful Brahman was not present, from bliss all entities are born. So this verse seems to indicate that the absolute truth is impersonal Brahman. And also this verse, Shveta Sutra Upanishad says, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. He has no body and no senses. Okay, so an opponent may thus say, though you say that according to etymology, Krishna means he who attracts all, he who is the greatest and all that. But still, from that definition itself, he should actually be considered formless, for bliss cannot have a form in view of the above quotations, because the above quotations clearly indicate that. Therefore, from the above quotations, absolute truth is impersonal, seems to be established. And what is the reply that our acharyas give? He says, no. Form mentioned in the above verses indicate that he has no ordinary form. He has an extraordinary form. Right? And what is that extraordinary form? Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Form, that form which is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So therefore, Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate means he does not have material body and material senses. Like that. But he has a form which is made of Sachit Ananda Vigraha. So proof of Krishna possessing Sachit Ananda Vigraha, he quotes from Bhagavatam, where it is mentioned, Nitya Sukha Bodha Tanav. So Nitya refers to Sat, eternal. Sukha refers to Ananda and Bodha refers to Chit. Tanav means Vigraha. So Nitya Sukha Bodha Tanav indicates Sachit Ananda Vigraha. He quotes this verse from Bhagavatam. So further proof he quotes from the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, where he says, Sachidananda Rupaya Krishna Yaklishta Karmani, like that. And another verse from the Brahmanda Puran, he says, he describes Krishna as Nanda Vraja Jana Anandi Sachidananda Vigraha. He has a form of eternity, knowledge and bliss which gives joy to the people of Vraja. So then, then we discussed about Sadvigraha. Sadvigraha means eternal form or changeless form, right? So Sadvigraha means his form does not change. So your verse. Satyavratam satyaparam trisatyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam vratasatya netram satyatpakam tvam sharanam prapannaha. Like that proof of the Lord's form being Sadvigraha, he quotes this verse. And then he quotes another verse. When everything is unmanifest also, during the, after the dissolution also, Krishna's form is still manifest. So this he quotes from the 10th canto, 3rd chapter. Therefore, Lord's form is Sadvigraha. So then he says, then he quotes this verse from the 10th and the 3rd chapter, where he says, death destroys body, death flees from you out of fear, therefore death cannot destroy your body, therefore your form is Sadvigraha. That's what he says. So no one in this material world has become free from birth, death, old age and disease. Even Brahma Bhavana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. But now that you have appeared, death has fled in fear of you, like that. So which means, if death flees in fear of you, then your body has to be eternal, because only death destroys the body.
For Moksha Leela, we should put this Sat part, Sat Vigraha.
So, and then another verse he quotes from Bhagavatam 10th canto 14th chapter again, as proof for Krishna's form to be Sadvigraha. He says, so Brahmaji himself says that first you showed, today you have shown that both yourself and everything within this creation are manifestations of your inconceivable potency. First you appeared alone, and then you manifested yourself as all the calves and cowherd boys. Then you appeared with an equal number of 400 Vishnu forms. And now you have appeared, finally you have now returned to your unlimited form as a supreme absolute truth, one without a second, like that. So, as well as Gita says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. And then he says, Yasmat Sharamatitoham Aksharad Apichottama. So, Atosmi Loke Vedecha Pratitaha Purushottama. So he says, you accept that Brahman is eternal? He says, yes.
Yes.
Do you accept Gita? Yes. So Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. So therefore, if Brahman is eternal, then the form that supports that Brahman should also be eternal. Therefore, Krishna is Sadvigraha. So in this way, he quotes Brahmanohi Pratishtaham to establish that Krishna's form is eternal. If Krishna is eternal, if Brahman is eternal, and if Krishna supports that Brahman, then Krishna's form should be eternal. Therefore, Krishna's form is Sadvigraha. And then he quotes from Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which indicates Tanur Ayam, that this form of yours is unchanging, indicates that the form is Sadvigraha.
I am not able to hear.
Haribol, can you hear me too?
Ah, now I am.
Yeah, because phone call came. When phone call comes,
okay.
And I have kept the phone far distance from me, because wherever the signal will be a little better.
Yeah.
So that's right. Yeah. So then we discuss about Chidvigraha. Chidvigraha means self-revealing. What is self-revealing, you ask? Self-revealing means it is not dependent on another object to reveal it. So he again quotes from the 10th canto 14th chapter, where Krishna is addressed here as Swayam Jyoti, means self-revealing Chidvigraha. And then again he quoted from the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, where Krishna is mentioned as Atma Buddhi Prakasham. Atma Buddhi Prakasham also means self-revealing, which means Chidvigraha. And Yameyvesha Vrunute Tena Labhyas Tasyesha Atma Vivrunute Tanam Swam. The Lord reveals His form to whomsoever He chooses, which means He has Chidvigraha. So this is where we ended our discussion. So, I mean, we could have still completed a lot more, because we took 40 minutes to recap. And if that 1 hour also, if we had, then 1 hour, 20 minutes, we could have covered today's portion. But still, I think that also is important. I don't have
a recap. I also like, because that becomes more strong. Understand.
Hari Bol.
Ah,
So I
yes,
can't,
true.
yeah, I can't hear you. What was it
Yeah,
linked to?
recap is good though, because it makes the foundation a little more stronger, right?
No,
It
I
makes
mean, this first verse we will recap till we reach second verse. So
yeah.
once we reach second verse, then we don't have to recap the first verse again. Yeah, I mean, if there were many, many people, then, you know, we can't recap so much. But as only one, I think it gives us an opportunity to, because in this first verse, he lays a very strong foundation. So I think if we understand this commentary, first verse commentary very clearly, then I think it will give us a gateway to enter into Krishna Sandarbha
Krishna
also.
Sandarbha.
So that's why we are taking some time to understand what he is explaining. So now coming to Ananda Vigraha. He says, Ananda Vigraha means that Govinda is the abode of the purest, highest prema, complete with all its components. So, what is Ananda Vigraha? So, what is this Ananda Vigraha? He says, abode of purest,
highest,
and complete
prema.
That is the meaning of Ananda Vigraha. This is made clear in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I am thinking that maybe he may again quote from 10th canto 14th chapter. Yes, he does. So he says, Brahman parod bhave krishne iyan prema katam bhavet yo bhuta purvas tokeshu svodbhaveshvapi katyatam. O Brahmana, katam. This is Parikshit Maharaj asking Sukadeva Goswami, how could Parodbhave Krishna, the cowherd woman, have developed for Krishna, who is someone else's son, and to Krishna, who is Paraudbhave, who was born to someone else, Iyan Prema, such love, how could the cowherd woman have developed such love for Krishna, who was born to someone else? Yo Abhutapurvaha Sva Udbhaveshu Tokeshu. Tokeshu means children. Sva Udbhaveshu, born out of themselves, their own children. Sva Udbhaveshu Abhutapurvam. They had never had this kind of love for their own children. So how could they develop so much love for Krishna? So how could they develop so much love for Krishna, who was someone else's son?
So, what it is proving Ananda Vigraha in this? Because Ananda Vigraha.
Because he is Ananda Vigraha. Because in that 1 year, all the calves and the parents, all the cows and the Brajagopas and Gopis who are the parents of those cowherd boys, they loved their son much more than they had ever loved their own children. So the only explanation to that is because Krishna is the abode of the purest, highest, complete prema. So he could attract that kind of prema from the Vrajavasis like that. So then he quotes from 10th canto, 3rd chapter again. Vasudev says, Viditosi bhavan sakshat purusha prakrite paraha kevalanubhavananda swarupa sarva buddhidrik. He says, Vasudev says that Bhavan Sakshat Purushah, you are the supreme person. Prakrite Paraha, you are beyond the material existence. Buddhidrik, Sarva Buddhidrik, your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge. And by that knowledge, when we see your form, what do we understand? केवल अनुभव आनंद स्वरूप बाय विच यू कैन बी अंडरस्टूड एज द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड. एंड सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड मीन्स केवल अनुभव आनंद स्वरूप. सो आनंद स्वरूप इंडिकेट्स आनंद विग्रह. Like that.
Why it is translated personality of Godhead Kevala?
That is BBT translation, Prabhu. I don't know.
Oh, acha. Okay.
So Prabhupada used like that. Anandam Brahmano Rupam. So, Brahmano Rupam Anandam. The form of Brahman is bliss. And of course, already it has been established that word Brahman can be used to indicate Krishna.
Yeah.
And because the word says Rupam, it cannot refer to impersonal Brahman also. Since the form of eternity, knowledge and bliss of the Lord is perfect and intrinsic, that form is non-different from Him. Thus, the words Atma and Vigraha may be used as synonyms. Right? So, because Atma, the word Atma is used somewhere like that. So, it has been shown that the Lord, unlike the Jiva, does not have a material body different from Atma. So, for Jivas, their form and Atma is different.
This comes in Vigraha section, the first shlokas for Vigraha.
But for Krishna, Atma and Vigraha are synonymous because they are in one sense same, in one sense they are non-different, same, both are spiritual. So Shukadeva Goswami says, okay, Shukadeva Goswami says, I think I probably missed something. Let me check. Because I think one slide is probably missing or I did some mistake, I think. I will just give me 1 minute.
Sure.
Because it says, Shukadeva Goswami says, but what does he say is not very... Where is Brahma Sambhita? Theek hai Prabhu, I will check it later.
Sure.
I will just check that part later. For now we will just continue. And then comes Govinda. Then the discussion on the word Govinda. He says, since Krishna eternally...
I am not able to see the PPT.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't share the screen without sharing the screen. Okay. Since Krishna eternally possesses the type of form just discussed, for the purposes of absorbing himself in pastimes, He sometimes appears as the king of the Vrishnis and sometimes as Govinda, the cowherd boy. Since Krishna eternally possesses the type of form just discussed, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So just discussed form, possesses the type of form just discussed, indicates Sat Chid Ananda Vigraha. So sometimes he can exist as king of Vrishnis. And sometimes he can exist as Govinda. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami explains, this is a verse which is very similar to Kunti Maharani's last prayer. First two lines are exactly same. Shri Krishna Krishna Sakavrishni Rishabha Avanidrug Rajanyavamshadahana Annapavar Gavirya Govinda. Till here it's the same. Go Dvija Surarti Haravatara, that is what the third line says. Here it is Govinda Gopa Vanita Brajabritya Gita Tirtha Shravaha Shravana Mangala Pahi Brityan. This is Shri Krishna, O Shri Krishna, Krishna Saka, O friend of Arjuna, Vrishni Rishabha, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, Avani Drug Rajanya Vamsha Dahana, one who burns Vamsha, the complete family dynasties of Avani Drug Rajanya, of those kings who are a burden to this earth. So you kill their whole dynasty. Anapavargya Virya, one whose prowess does not get depleted. And then here he addresses the Lord as Govinda. So that Krishna is addressed as Govinda. Okay. Shravana Mangala, O Lord who gives pleasure to the ears. How? Tirtha Shravaha. By the fame which purifies the universe. And who sings this? Gopa Vanita Vraja Vritya Gita. By Uddhava, who is the servant of the gopis of Vraja.
Oh, Vritya Gita is Uddhava is singing.
He says, which is sung by Uddhava, who is the servant, Vritya, sung by the servant, Vritya Gita. And he is whose servant? Gopa Vanita Vraja. Vraja Gopa Vanita, who is the servant of the gopis of Vraja. Pahi Brityan, oh my dear Lord, please protect your devotees. Like that. So
this
here
is
again,
who is reciting, who is speaking this verse?
This is Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami is praying to Krishna. So he says, though Krishna performs two types of pastimes in Vrindavan and in Dwaraka, the form as Govinda is the most worthy of worship because Govinda is endowed with the most affectionate form, pastimes and associates. Okay. This is what Rupa Goswami says. One thing he says is Siddhantastu abedepi Shrisha Krishna Swarupa Yoho Rashena Utkrishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Rasastitihi. So even though according to Siddhanta, the forms of Krishna in Vrindavan and the form of Shrisha is the Lord of Lakshmi or Lord of Rukmini also. Rasena Utkrishyate Krishna Rupam. But if you consider Rasa, even though according to Siddhanta, the form of Narayana and Krishna are non-different. But if you consider Rasa, the Krishna Rupam is way more superior. Esha Rasasthitihi, like that. And then in the same section, in Bhaktira Samrat Sindhu, he says, Tatrapi ekantinam sreshta Govinda hrita manasa. He says, Tatrapi एकांतिनाम श्रेष्ठ गोविंद कृत मानसा येषां श्रीश प्रसादोपि मनो हर्तुं न शक्नुयात्। He says, तत्रापि even though the prema bhaktas are very glorious, ekantinam, ekantinam means prema bhaktas, even amongst the prema bhaktas, shreshta, the topmost, are govinda hrita manasa, are those whose hearts have been stolen by govinda, yesham shrisha prasadopi, so such people, even if they may get the even if they may experience the kindness, kind mercy of Lord Narayana, mano hartum na shaknuyat, their heart will not be stolen. So here the word Govinda can refer to Krishna. Here the word Govinda more specifically refers to Vraja Krishna. Here the word Govinda most specifically refers to Vraja Krishna in his Kaishora form. So he says that when it refers to Krishna, then it means Krishna's devotees are superior amongst all pure devotees. When it refers to Vraja Krishna, it means amongst all Krishna's devotees, Vrajavasis are best. When it means the third meaning, amongst all Vrajavasis, gopis are the best.
You told that when this verse Krishna and Kunti Maharani present, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki.
Yeah, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya. Yeah, correct, correct. And the Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo. Correct.
So there, Govinda refers to
Krishna in his Kaishora form.
Kaishora
form. Yeah. So, thus, the Brahma Samhita mentions the word Govinda to distinguish the Vrindavan Krishna from Dwaraka Krishna. This Govinda will later be praised in the verse starting with the words Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha, because all will be Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. So, why he is Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana? Yes, bro.
This word make this shloka makes sense. Means, yeah. Why Govinda referring to that Chintamani? That shloka makes the proof.
Yeah. So Govinda, the Lord of the cows, should not be considered an inferior name, because after Surabhi bathed Krishna for his victory over Indra, Indra gave him the name Govinda as an honor. Govinda is not an inferior name. It was an honorary name offered by Indra.
Well, that he was not called.
From the Bhauma Leela point of view. But eternally Govinda is his name. But from the Bahumalila point of view, at some point, this is the stage where he received the name Govinda. In the previous chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva...
Otherwise, this name Govinda had different meaning when Arjuna calls Krishna as Govinda.
No, no. It means the same because he was even... because that was the time, even in his Pauganda Avastha, he was, you know, or his even in his Pauganda Avastha also, he was taking care of the cows. So he was Govinda at that time also, but as a specific name, it was given in Bahumalila at this point of time.
Yeah.
Because
and after, when the form of Vishnu, which is called Govinda, is. That is which gives pleasure to the senses.
Yeah. So in the previous chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev prayed, Priyanna Indro Gavam, may the Lord of the cows be pleased with us. If Krishna is the shelter of all beings and then is called the shelter of cows, it indicates that Krishna as the Lord of cows is perfect in status.
Yeah.
So, Krishna as
protector of cows. Bro, your voice is not heard. Not able to hear.